Okay, so definitely, again, action-packed parsha. I would say Bamidbar, after Naso, it's just like, Bahalos Chashlach Korach, it hits you. Not exactly the happy stories, but there definitely is a lot to think about.
The downfall,
I hear. There's definitely a lot of falling down, not too much falling up, unfortunately. And I'd like to spend a few moments at the beginning of our story today talking about the story of sending the spies. So here, it's very well known that there is a lot of difficulties in trying to understand the story. You may be familiar with, I'll mention a few of them. There seems to be a conflict between the way that the story is presented in Parshas Shelach, our Parsha this week, and later on, in a few weeks from now, Parshas Devarim, in terms of who initiated the idea to send the spies. In the beginning of our Parsha, it says, Shelach lecha anashim. Hashem tells Moshe, saying, you send for yourself anashim, people. It sounds like the commandment to send spies and scouts comes from Hashem. Whereas in Devarim, if you look in Parshas Devarim, the way that it works, it sounds not like that. It sounds like the Jews are all ready to go into the land of Israel and just to conquer it. In fact, Moshe says, okay, we're here, it's time, let's go into Israel, and we're going to conquer it. That's not in the source sheet in front of you. But if you look in Devarim, it's there, you have some Tanakh over there. And the Jews then say, no. Or they don't say no, they say, Nishlacha Anashim Lefanenu. Before we go into Eretz Yisrael, before we conquer the land, let's send a few people in front of us. And then they'll Biach Berulanu Es Aretz. They'll scout out the land for us. So who initiated the idea to send spies? That's one question.
The United Nations.
There you go. Furthermore, if we follow the simple explanation of this week's Parsha, it's difficult also because it seems, based on the telling in Devarim, and also based on what happened, it seems like sending the spies was not a good idea. It seems like this demonstrated a lack of belief, a lack of faith in God. And if that is indeed so, how could God have said, Shlach lecha anashim? How could God have issued such a command? And then maybe even, you know, Pace and I were discussing this before, maybe even the most difficult is sort of related to that question, how could, if indeed God commanded the Jews to send spies, given that it ended up so badly, that it ended up in such a disaster, resulted in really the complete downfall of that entire generation, how could God have set up his people to fail? So I'd like to focus on that for a few moments. So you have here in source number one is Rashi. And Rashi sort of tries to, I would say he emphasizes the story in Devarim and reads this story in light of that. Based on the Chazal, he says, Shalach Licha, doesn't say Shalach Anashim, doesn't say send people. It says, Shalach Licha, send for yourself. And Rashi says, L'daitcha, that's according to what you want. Shalach Licha means based on your idea, you should send. And ani mitzav lecha. Ani eni mitzav lecha. I'm not commanding you to do it. You do it if you want to. And Tert says shalach. Lefi shabba Yisrael v'yamru and I quotes in Devarim. The Jews came in them and said, nishlecha. They said, we want to send spies. K'mo shekasuv. V'atikrav v'nalai kochem. Moshe, in retelling the story, says, you all came up to me and said you wanted to send spies. U'moshe nimla p'shchina. So Moshe went to ask Hashem. Okay, the Jews want to send spies. So, what should we do? And he said, Amar, Amar, the God says, Ani Amar Delem Shito, I told you it was a good land. Shenamar, Ve'amar, Ele Eschem, Me'onim Mitzrayim, all the way back when the Jews were still in Egypt, at the very beginning of the story of the Jewish nation, Hashem tells Moshe to tell the people, I am going to take you from this land in Egypt to a wonderful land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So I told you already numerous times that it was a wonderful land. Since you don't have faith in me, so I'm going to allow you to make a mistake. I'm going to give you a room to err with the words of the Meragim so that you don't inherit it, right? So on a simple level, there are three essential assumptions in Rashi. Rashi, it sounds like God didn't want them to send the spies. He was acquiescing to their request. It sounds like the purpose of sending the spies, at least how God interprets it, was not really to scout out the land in order to conquer it, but rather to see if it was good, and this displayed a lack of faith. And it sounds like God allowed this to happen to test the Jews, so to test them.
Tough love.
Tough love, okay, that's the way I'm going to put it. Maybe that's a better way of putting it, but the way I would say simple explanation of Rashi is saying, this is what you want, so I'm going to allow you to potentially make a huge mistake and fail if this is what you're asking for because of your lack of faith, right? That's what Rashi says here. Many other Mefarshim are bothered by this. They don't like this idea. And there are a number of points that they make to sort of put it a bit differently. So if you look in Sfarno here, and this Sfarno is really following the Ramban, which I didn't quote for you. It's a bit long. According to the Maharal, though, who is very similar. But the Sfarno says that the Jewish people came up with this idea of sending spies, and the way that they envisioned it was bad. It wasn't a good idea. Why? Essentially, let's take a look inside. Right? Sfarno says, Al Taniya Shishurim. Right? God says to Moshe, you send the people. Don't let them do it. Why? Maybe they'll send normal, typical people who are not particularly intelligent, and they won't recognize the goodness of the land. But they're going to think God's making a mistake. They won't do tshuva. Essentially, what Sfarno says is as follows. The Jews wanted to send spies, and God said, don't do it the way they want. Don't pick a bunch of random people. They just said, Nishlacha Anoshim Lefaneinu, we want to send a bunch of spies in front of us. And Hashem says, that's not a good idea. Moshe, they're going to send spies. This is how you got to do it. You got to make sure it's the leaders of each tribe. And you have to make sure that it's one from each tribe. So there's less of a chance that they all can sort of band together. And that's the way you need to do it. And Sfarno argues that essentially it worked. What do you mean it worked? They failed miserably. Because even though the spies did convince the Jewish people not to go into the land of Israel, but they did tell about the greatness of the land. They said it's an Eretz Zavach HaVdavash. Even the spies said it's a land flowing with milk and honey. And the truth is, because they were truthful in their report and they spoke about the greatness of the land of Israel, despite the fact they said we can't conquer it, the Jews did tshuva, Sfarno says. When the Jews do tshuva, so this is actually a bit controversial, but immediately after the Jewish people are told they're not going to go, they're going to wander in the desert for 40 years, there's a group of Jews that say, Chatanu l'Hashem, we sinned to God, we made a mistake, and we realize we should have had faith in God, and now we want to go into Eretz Yisrael. We're going. Moshe, we realize our mistake, we're going. Now, they shouldn't have done that, because God said, no, we're not going, we're going to wander in the desert for 40 years. But they said we're going, they said we sinned to God, and what ends up happening is they try to ascend the land of Israel, and they get killed. They get cut down by the Canaan, the Amaleki, and the mountain, and cut them down. But Sfarno sees that, actually, as a sort of tshuva. That they did tshuva. The reason they were punished is because, Sfarno says, the end here, of the Chil Hashem. There are certain sins which you can't simply say, I realize I made a mistake, and I want to do better now. Chil Hashem, the desecration of God's name that was caused by them crying about having to go to Israel, by them rejecting God's command for them to enter the land of Israel, that was such a great sin that it couldn't have been simply forgiven by them saying we sinned. It was punishable by death, and that's they ultimately die. But Sfarno's point is, they had a really bad idea. Their idea was to send a bunch of random people to go scout the land. Hashem says, Moshe, don't let him do that. Don't let him do that. Rather, pick a few people from each Shevet, not just any people, but the leaders of the Shvatim, and that allowed the Jews to at least do tshuva because those people spoke of the goodness of the land. Okay.
Wouldn't that be even worse, though? Like, on one hand, there's malice purely out of ignorance, which is bad, but you could argue that the people who commit that didn't know better. If you know better and you still commit malice anyways, isn't that worse?
I hear that. I hear that in a sense. You're saying they wouldn't have known better. But, I mean, the truth is, I think everybody should be held accountable for the fact that God promised them the land and he said he would fight for them. And he said it was a really good land. And so whether you're the head of the tribe or not, you should still be held accountable for that. But I think the argument is, it would have been even worse had they sent other people. They would have had a totally bad report. They would have said, this is ridiculous. And they did anyway. But at least they ultimately did tshuva. Interesting. But there is another approach here, and it's essentially that of the Rabban Megora, which says as follows, and there's a point that I want to pick out of it. One of the approaches in the Mefarshim is that, no. It's not as if it's totally a bad idea. It wasn't a bad idea. It essentially depends on intention, right? So Rabban and the Maharal here in source number 2, I don't know if it's getting late, maybe we won't read the whole thing inside, but the Maharal suggests essentially sending scouts is a good idea. How do I know it's a good idea? Moshe Rabbeinu sent spies himself later on in Devarim one time. And if you look in Yoshua, this week's Haftorah, Yoshua sent spies. If it was such a bad idea to send spies to scout out a territory, then why are they doing it again? Why is Moshe doing it? Why is Yoshua doing it? Furthermore, on a simple level, on a natural level, it makes sense to send spies. If you're going to enter a land, let me just finish the explanation, and I want to hear what you have to say, Andrew. If you're going to enter the land, so you want to know the best way to conquer it. You want to know the best way to conquer it. So then, why wouldn't you send scouts? So that was a good idea. Had the intention of the Jewish people been sincerely to determine how they could best conquer the land of Israel, that would have been a good idea. That Moshe agreed to. He thought that was good. And that would have been fine. The problem was that wasn't really their intent. There wasn't really their intent. In truth, maybe they didn't even know, but deep down, they were apprehensive about actually going into the land. The truth is they were deciding whether they wanted to go into the land. And so, essentially, their intention was the problem. So Hashem recognized that in them. And here's the really interesting thing. If you look at the second paragraph here in Source 3, it says, Hayanim lach b'hai akash baruch hu. Right? Moshe asked Hashem, Shein laso b'lo itza. You shouldn't just take action without seeking counsel. V'kash baruch hu ra ma'ashe b'toch libam ha-ra. God saw what was in their evil heart. Shalom hayazeh b'levavam raktona. They just wanted to complain. They just wanted to rebel. The Kavanashim Shalo Yahaminim Sharitz Tova. They didn't really believe it was a good land. They thought maybe the people in the land were too strong. They wouldn't be able to conquer them. They were afraid. They didn't want to tell that to Moshe. They didn't want to say we're afraid. They didn't want to say we don't believe you. So they said they wanted to send scouts to spy out the land. And therefore, they said they wanted to send out spies to determine the best way to conquer the land. Determine which place to conquer first. So then, here's the kicker. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shlach Lecha L'Adaitcha. You send according to your knowledge. Eini Mitzavecha. Why? Ki Abba L'Tameh Poschin La. A person decides to make a certain decision. A person wants to make themselves impure. God says, that's what you want? Okay. If that's what you want, so I'll lead you down that path. Meaning, God saw their actual intentions, and he said, if this is the path you want to lead your life in, then you can take that path. And he continues, in my Kavanas Matova, if their intention was for the good, Hayakash Baruch Hu Nosin Loicha Shabbat Har Messinosa, then God would have led them down that path. Va'ashavakash Baruch Hu Lo Ratzli Tin Loicha, Elohim Marshach Ladaicha, you do it on your own. If this is the way you want to do it, you do it. They had a bad intention. Right? So it's really interesting about this paragraph, and I think something that I take away from it is that God doesn't always just say, you know, if someone's doing the wrong thing, Hashem doesn't always say, no, don't do that. I'm not going to let you do it. It's a bad idea. A person decides to make a certain sort of decision, Hashem says, I'm going to let you make that decision. But you have to live with your decision. You have to lay in the bed that you make for yourself. Exactly. So if the Jews, if no one had said anything, that the way the Maharal's were running, Hashem said, let's go. Let's conquer the land. The Jews said, no, we don't want to do that. We want to send spies. And if that had been to simply, and as Moshe interpreted, to conquer the land, fine. But Hashem already saw it. Okay, maybe not. Maybe it's not really what they wanted. They actually have a lack of faith. So God says, if you want to have a lack of faith, okay. So act on that lack of faith. Because into hate, I'm not going to stop you. And that ultimately, you know, leads to our downfall, which means that God gives us a certain amount of agency in the way we live our lives. And, you know, he'll even what I think you see from the story and the way that the Mepharshim interpret it, that he lets the Jews walk down the path they choose to walk. He tries to take measures to limit the damage, but if that's the path we want to choose, then that's the way we choose, and we have to live with the results. Andrew wanted to say something.
This is a little problematic.
Okay, meaning?
From the perspective that, let's go with the notion that the leaders of these tribes who ended up going into the land
right.
were advised that they had a specific objective.
Okay.
But they veered from that. So if they veered from it, and they're the leaders, why was the whole generation punished for the act of the leaders who veered from it? Why, you know, it seems...
Well, I wouldn't say they were punished because the leaders veered from it, but as we see afterward, you know, the 10 spies veer from it, 2 spies don't, and it's the Jews who decide to accept the report. Well, you know what? I would say 2 things to that question. First of all, here's what their argument was. It's a really great land, but it's tough because the people inside the land are really strong and they have very fortified cities, and that's the way it is. So even originally when they make the report, I just want to say, they don't even say that too much, as the Mepharshim pointed out. They don't say, we can't conquer. They just said, Efeskiazam! You know what? It's a great land, but... It's a very strong nation that lives inside of it. So it's up to the Jews how to interpret and react to that. And the way they reacted was, okay, looks like there's no chance.
Because who is going to lead them into the land? These are the
God, Moshe, Yeshua, you know... I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, Andrew. I disagree with you that they shouldn't be held accountable. I think even if people give you bad advice, it's on you ultimately to reject that bad advice. I think they're also culpable for giving you bad advice. But they had just seen God lead them through a desert and perform many miracles for them. I think it was reasonable for them to have faith. And Moshe and Yeshua and Aaron tried to reassure them. They just didn't listen. But I do think you see that in the leadership is an important thing, right? And you have to know that when you tell people something, that you're really going to cause a lot of problems. And the Meraglim are definitely culpable for that. They were killed in a plague. Okay, I wanted to mention just one more thing regarding the report of the spies, and then we'll move on to something a little bit different. 2 more points, actually. First isn't it safe? So one thing that the Mepharshim are very bothered by is that Moshe Rabbeinu tells them to say, go see the land, is it good or bad? That's what Moses says. Ma haaretz hatovahi imra'a. What do you mean, is it good or bad? Like, what was the point of saying that? It sounds like Moshe is almost suggesting they should make a decision. Do you want this land or do you not? Is it a good or bad, or is it a bad land? What do you mean? God said it was a good land. So here's a nitziv it has in source 4. At Israel kal haaretz. Now he's asking them about to scout the land generally. He says, v'zeh en nogeh lekir shlichus. He said, that's not what the message was about. That's not the point of the mission. The Jews didn't ask to scout the land. That's not what they said. They said, scout out how to enter the land, not the quality of the land. God had promised it was a land flowing with milk and honey. They didn't want to reveal the fact that they didn't really believe that. So they didn't ask to see if it was a good land. He said he understood they wouldn't want to just listen. And they wouldn't want to hear about the strong people in Israel. Moshe knew there were giants there. He thought that, oh, it's going to be so hard to conquer it. He wanted to satiate their eyes with the goodness of the land. He specifically asked the spies to tell them it's a great land, to pay attention to how wonderful the land was, in the hope that they would say, despite the giants that live there, it's such a good land, let's go anyway. This is a really interesting take. His expectation, and Moshe's expectation, was when they actually heard, or the spies saw how beautiful the land was, they'd say, you know what, we gotta go in. We can't turn down this land that God is giving to us. There's no way, it's such a good land. He says, okay, they heard it was a good land. Seeing is believing. Right? A believing is not similar to seeing something. As we say, Moshe didn't break the luchot until he came down and saw that they had worshipped Egel Azav, even though God had told them they had done it. So that was, he was hoping. So the point of, he specifically asked them to pay attention to the goodness of the land, to give them that strength. And they did. They said, Tova Aretz. They said, Eretz of Achlav Devash. Essentially, unfortunately, that wasn't enough, and they still failed.
But they bring back produce with them.
Yeah, and that's real. They did that, right? And I think another point I want to make is that you see also clear from the story, everything, you know, so much is not about what we see or the facts. It's how we interpret them or what we do with them, right? Like, big fruits. What do you do with that? Wow, what an incredible land. Look at the amazing fruits. Or, oh my goodness, these fruits are so huge. The people are so huge, we'll never be able to conquer it. So there's a famous, I should have quoted it, there's a Rashi, I love to see this Rashi. The Rashi is actually the end of the Parsha. It says, Lo sasuru achare levalchem achare nechem, lo tatturu. What's tatturu mean? So he says, it's a very similar part, the word at the beginning of the Parsha. It says, latur. Latur means to scout out the land, right? So it's the same language. So Rashi says, Ha inayim miraglim heim laguf. The eyes are spies for the body. They're spies in the sense that what you see is what you see. The miraglim saw well. The eyes see well. But lo tatsur acharei nechem means that the question isn't only about what you see, but how you interpret what you see. And what you emphasize and how you react to it. The Meraglim saw, they saw correctly, but their interpretation and how they acted upon that vision was totally corrupted by who they were inside. And that's what happens with our eyes all the time. Our eyes see, but if a person is sort of veering after some of their impulses, then you can take anything that you see and turn it in a negative light. Okay, I want to end with two more points because I know it's getting late. Then I don't have to take any questions. Source number five, I just found to be a very sort of nice little medrash. When did the Meraglim come back? They say that we were so small in comparison to these giants. We're like grasshoppers in our own eyes. We viewed ourselves as grasshoppers, and we also, in their eyes, were grasshoppers. We were also grasshoppers in their eyes. Perspectives. Look at what the Medrash says. Amruvan hi beninu kachagavim. They said we were in our eyes like grasshoppers. Amar kosh baruch hu vitarti aleim. You know what? For saying that you felt very small, that you felt like grasshoppers. Okay, I forgive you. Not such a big deal. I get it. Elok v'chein hayinu beinehem. That we were also grasshoppers in their eyes. Yodim ayite maasitechem leinehem. Do you know? Do you know what I did to you in their eyes? You know how they viewed you? How do you know? Maybe they saw you as angels. Why do you assume that because you feel small, other people look at you as if you're teeny, as if you're tiny? There's a very clear message there. Sometimes we like assume certain things about ourselves, and then we also superimpose that perception of ourselves on others, right? If I feel small, they all know that I'm small. If I feel a certain way, I feel bad about myself, I feel like, you know, I'm off, or then they must also feel that way. God's saying, how do you know? Who says you feel that way? We make assumptions about how other people perceive us based on our own internal perception. The key then is to change the way we perceive ourselves. And that ultimately will allow us to have the confidence to be among others. Okay, one more point here, and then we'll conclude. If you, when Moshe Rabbeinu is praying for the Jewish people, right, so God wants to punish them, he says he wants to wipe them out, Moshe says, no, you can't wipe them out. In that prayer, it's very interesting. He quotes, he sounds like he's saying the 13 attributes of mercy, but he doesn't say all of them. He says, Hashem erech apayim v'rav chesed. He skips chanun v'rachum. He skips some of the 13 attributes. Why does he do that? So Ramban here has one take, but I want to stare to the Gushas Levi. Fascinating Gushas Levi. Levi Yitzchak Bar Dishon. Says Ramban is verse 6. Erech apayim v'rav chesed. He says, God, Moshe says, forgive the Jews because you're slow to anger and you have a lot of kindness. V'lo hiskir emes. He didn't say you're the God of truth. Why not? Ki b'midas emes yu chayavim. Because if we're going with truth, they would have been liable. The God of truth would have said they had to get punished. of what they did. He doesn't say that you guide, you remember kindness for generations. This is very, very, you know, very strong. Right? We say God remembers kindness of generations, meaning he remembers the kindness that Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov did thousands of years ago. But Moshe didn't mention that here. Why? The low history of those Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov doesn't mention Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. God gave the land to the Avos, and they were supposed to inherit it from them. They refused the gift that God had given to the forefathers, that Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov wanted so badly. They refused it. How can Moshe, the last time this happened, Moshe said, how can you kill them? You promised their forefathers that you would give them the land of Israel. How could he say that now? They're saying, we don't want this punishment. They're saying, we don't want this present. So we can't even rely on Tzatzchavos. Tzatzchavos isn't a guarantee. If we reject what our Avos wanted, then God's not going to remember the kindness of the Avos. Really fascinating, Rabban. And he says, "V'lo hisker chata." He doesn't say, you know, God forgives chait, b'avor Hashem mezim b'poshen, because it was on purpose. Chait is an accidental sin. But then he says, yes, as follows: "Lama lo hisker rachem v'chanan." Why does he skip over rachem and chanan? Right? We say Hashem, Hashem, kel rachem v'chanan. Why did you skip that? Here he says, "Erech apayim and rach chesed." All of a sudden, so Rabban says, well, maybe because they already had the midah of judgment, not mercy. But I wanted to share with you the Kedushas Halevi. Kedushas Halevi says something fascinating. Kedushas Halevi in source number 7. Maybe it's like a redditch. You can look at the English on the bottom of the page. Hashem erech apayim. Ki Yisrael kishasu es ha'egel hayavo neged Hashem. When the Jews did the egel hazav, their first big sin, the first time the yugim aminos are mentioned, that was a sin against God. Their sin was they didn't have faith in God. They served the egel hazav. The kam b'shaluach meraglim, but sending the spies hayavo neged parts of Yisrael. Their sin was, in a sense, against themselves. They didn't believe in their own power of prayer. They didn't believe that they had the ability to daven to Hashem and defeat these giants. What is racham? Racham means God connects himself to this world. Just like somebody who is unfortunate and poor and indigent goes to your doorstep. The person who wants to help them has to cleave to that person, get close to them. So that he can have mercy. God's minas racham is he gets close to us and he wants to have mercy for us. They didn't believe in the midah of mercy. They didn't believe that God would have mercy on them, have compassion for them, and enable them to defeat the giants. They themselves didn't believe in it. Really a fascinating idea. God can't have mercy on us. God can't have compassion for us unless we believe in ourselves that through our power of tefillah, he's going to answer and have that compassion. If we say, forget it, God, there is no hope, we can't go into Eretz Yisrael, God's not going to help us, so Hashem says, I can't, you're right. I can't get close to you and have mercy on you if you don't even believe in yourself, but that's possible. God can only believe in ourselves as much as we believe in ourselves. So that's why Kedushas Halevi says, I can't say Rachum B'chanan, because they're rejecting the concept of Rachum and Chayin. So fascinating idea. So I think one thing that you then see and is the requirement to always never question the notion that God is looking to answer our prayers. Once we do that, we're weakening ourselves. We're limiting, as it were, God's opportunity to have mercy on us. Rather, always, even if a person does sin, even a person is scared to say, God, I know I might have sinned, but I want to daven to you and I want you to have compassion. And then if we do that, God hopefully can then have compassion on us. Thank you very much for listening and have a great Shabbos. Always a pleasure, everybody. Thanks for coming.